You're listening to Pop Culture Fanatics, a podcast for the crazy fan in you.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome back to another great edition of Dragon's Den, brought to you by Pop Culture Fanatics, the only podcast for the fanatic inside of you. It's your boy Val Cisco with Mr. All for One himself, Jay Rance. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, what's good, man? I am chilling. We're here live, 9 o'clock in the morning. What's good? I'm excited.
Oh, I'm excited as well, too. We just finished up watching the latest episode of My Hero Academia, episode 98, or slash episode 10, if you want to count it for this season right here in season 5. This was an episode that kind of changed the game. We were mentioning in the last recap as well, too, what All for One could mean. Hell, this even ties into One for All, in my opinion. We'll definitely get into it as well, too. So much to unwrap in this one little episode. So many nice little moments that happened as well, too. But for anybody that, spoiler alert, we're going to talk about as well, too. But let's get into the recap right here. This is the last fight in the tournament. It is Deku and Shinzo coming face-to-face in the Battle of Quirks. Basically, it's Deku alongside with Ochako, Ashido and Mineta as well, too. The title is called That Which Is Inherited. And boy, oh boy, did we get that pretty much explained. I know, I want to get your thoughts. We were just talking about a couple of seconds ago before the podcast. Mm-hmm. I haven't been reading ahead whatsoever. I mean, I've been getting glimpses of here and there that shows up on Facebook or different sites or whatnot. But I try my best to kind of be surprised, because at the end of the day, we want that feeling again. But man, oh man, I need to get your feeling on this, because I know you had feelings about this, and it was confirmed in this episode.
Ooh, yes, bro. So your speculations, because you brought it up. Like, you know, I do read the manga, but I kind of do like you. I want to be surprised, you know. So, but I caught a glimpse, and I seen into the future. Right now, you know, Deku's trying to wield the Six Wielder's power. He's trying to get it under control. And I wanted to tell you that, but I was like, oh no. I was like, I got to stay away from this, because I did want to deep dive into it. But I'm so happy that it's like caught up right now. You get what I'm saying? Like, we saw Deku lose control of the power or whatever. I don't want to spoil too much, but it kind of confirmed what you were saying. And it got me kind of hyped right now. How do you feel about that? Because that was your biggest speculation. Does he have the access to the powers of all the other wielders?
I mean, this explains the name All for One. Like, I always thought about it. I was like, why is that name so specific? But I always just wrapped it up into, oh, it's My Hero Academia, so whatever. But yeah, this makes me super happy, man, because one, you're seeing Deku, without even really getting hurt, use a different kind of quirk now. And yeah, he lost control in this battle, but once he does get it under control, bro, Deku is a mother flipping problem, man.
Like, he is.
Once that shit gets wrapped up, he's gonna be a problem. And now all the speculations in my head are happy. I'm like, what the fuck has he been using this whole time for the last four seasons?
A little doodle minuscule spec, bro. Like, he hasn't been using nothing. Cause now it just goes into consideration as well. It just had me thinking about Cyborg. It had me thinking about a lot of other things. The power reacts to your anger, to your heart. Like, bro, this power is very similar to All for One. Like, what is the difference? Where's the thin line that you get One for All and All for One? You get what I'm saying? Like, did you feel like that?
Yeah, man, 100,000%. So much to unwrap in this episode. Not just that right there, but just a little flashbacks of All Might and the previous users as well, too. His master as well, too. And then mother flipping prime Gran Torino. Where the hell did he shrink this whole time?
Yo, Gran Torino was just on a vacay, came out of nowhere, smooth as hell. I'm like, bro, just dropping a little set of notes and just being out. All right, I'm out. Like, I miss Gran Torino.
So this makes me wonder, too. Like, a lot of speculation in this episode. I know, guys. And if you guys have read ahead, you're probably yelling at me right now. But those that are surprised, just like us right now, so much to unpack. Has Gran Torino ever had this conversation with All Might when he was on top? That's what I'm kind of wondering.
It has to, bro. All Might knows more than what he's leading on. I guarantee you, because you see moments. Was it in season 3 where he was like, oh, like he wants to tell him. There's gonna be moments that this and that, and he wants to, but he's holding I don't know why he's holding out, but I know he knows something, bro. Like, definitely, you see it.
Let's talk about other characters in this episode. Your man motherfucking Monoma,
bro.
Monoma, so hot right now.
That Monoma is so freaking hot right now, bro. I wanted to ask you about that. We sit here and say, bro, Shinzo at any moment, at a snap of a finger, could become a villain. Bro, I got that with Monoma. What do you think?
Yo, hell yes, exactly. The twinkle in the eye right there just shows that, honestly, anybody in these classes become a villain with the right push, and that is super scary. This is why the League of Villains have infiltrated UA so many times. This is why they're trying to recruit these kids, because it really takes that one push to really go over the edge.
Bro, really? And then we saw the scumbag move when Deku woke up from the brainwash, and he was like, this is not over, attacking somebody while he's down. I'm like, that's a villain move.
It is, but you gotta also blame Shinzo for that as well, too. Because Shinzo, you know, trying to be the hero and, you know, stop disaster from happening, kind of goes into business for himself, and is a little selfish in my opinion, because he's like, we fought in the past, I lost in the past, I was so hyped to fight you in this tournament. So instead of like just saying, Deku, stop, like, what do I say, stop the tournament, depower, he's like, you know, fight me, Midoriya, and I'm like, what are you doing? What is happening?
He did kind of go into the business of himself. That was very selfish, very egoic minded of Shinzo. But I mean, I don't know where that came from, but it's still obviously, like we said in the past episode, that he has that Uber chip on his shoulder due to Deku. So that's all he could think, bro. He got the illest heart on right now. He's like Bakugo Jr., bro.
Like, a little bit. like a Todoroki meets Bakugo. Like the calm and collectiveness of Todoroki with like the malice of Bakugo.
I mean, I did enjoy the fact that we saw kind of, I mean, it didn't erase that, but it kind of did erase the doubt for me where, okay, this dude, he's not going to be a villain. You get what I'm saying? It was kind of like a confirmation, because he sat here and said, you know, I want to use my power to help people. And he had that little flashback, yada, yada, yada. The phrase should have been better, like, you know, Deku power down or something, but I don't know. I'm kind of happy about that. But bro, Monoma, man, like, speaking about villains, how did you feel about All For One finally making a little resurgence, showing a little bit of life, moving around, bro? How did you feel about that?
I needed that. I needed to for something big to happen to be explained. And I appreciate the backstory with it as well, too. A small tidbit of the backstory for All For One. Man, like, just hearing, did they release the hero that's inside of that? What his name was?
Who, basically his brother?
Yeah. No, not his brother. Oh. But the hero that was actually helping Deku, though.
The hero that was helping Deku. Wait, you lost me right here real quick. No. The Black Whip dude?
Yes.
Nah, they didn't reveal the name.
I just appreciate that right there, that little small conversation. Him just saying that, hey, there's a whole bunch of people that are out there, the other wielders right there, kind of making it seem like those wielders are stronger than him. So he's happy that, you know, Deku found him first or he activated first. But your boy, you know, oh my God, One For All over here. This man, Mr. Penis Head. he looked like a thumb from Scott, from what's that kid show of Spy Kids?
Oh,
the thumb heads, bro. His power. You're seeing like the goons in the background just like discussing what to do with him and, you know, how to take precautions and whatnot. And this guy over here is talking to them through the plexiglass. I'm like, what's going on, brother?
Bro, yeah, this dude is OP beyond belief because he's just talking through them super pexy ass. Like, I thought about that, but I did like the phrase that he said. Oh, I hope like my moving didn't startle you. It's just my body having the nightmares, or, like reliving the nightmares. So you still powered up as hell, you know? Like, so there's still something in there, and I'm just waiting for this dude to get released and just cause full hell. I mean, I was happy seeing him, bro. I want to see some Tomura, man. I don't know how you feel, but I want to see some Shigaraki being employed back in season 5.
Bro, so Shigaraki, we got that drop as well, too, with the League of Villains as well. Mm-hmm. But Shigaraki and All For One's brother, they have to be related or connected somehow. It's like so obvious at this point.
Dude, yeah, this power... It all stems kind of like what is Romulus, like it all stems from All For One, I believe, because you got All For One, then he gave the power where we don't know where he got the power from, but he says I found the power for you, but it has to stem from somewhere, and all these people are intertwined and are connected because his brother does give you Shigaraki vibes. Yeah, but it kind of, you know, cancels that out. Maybe let's just see. Hey, season 5 is full of intrigue, like you said. But then All Might's mentor, isn't Shigaraki her nephew? So it's like there has to be some correlation where it starts that all these mother flippers are related, bro. I'm sorry.
And then you get to see now, like, why All For One and All Might were like the Batman / Joker of this universe, because then how they cancel each other out. Mm-hmm. Where if we're looking at, you know, One For All as a quirk, using different quirks at your disposal, and then on the reverse side, you know, All For One stealing a whole bunch of quirks for his disposal as well too. They're virtually identical in a way.
they really are, bro. That's why I told you, like, where do we draw the line between good and bad, and where do we they're similar. All For One, One For All, they're very similar. Just one uses it for good, one uses it for evil. We saw that in the battle of Kamino Ward, where you know, All For One was just using his power for evil, basically. So I don't know, my thing is, I just want to know as well, what do you think? Like, I want to know, did All Might, was All Might able to tap into these other powers? Because we just saw All Might just do smash every day. Maybe that's his segment, but I mean, do you think he was able to tap into these powers, or he's legit surprised? Like when we saw Deku, like, you know, flip out with the Black Whip, where you saw him like, he has to know something, but then again, it seems kind of new. What do you think?
Well, the theme of this episode is like the time hasn't come. Mm-hmm. And he kept on repeating that inside his head. So that right there is a surprising message right there, because he feels that, I think he knows that Deku is going to be the one to wield all this. But maybe in some weird way, the time never came for All Might to use everything. Maybe he just had one vestige. Mm. Maybe he had one hero from that power set, from that quirk, to help him out. Which hence you get like the bodybuilder, the strongman type right there. Mm. Maybe he was only able to master that, and that's about it.
I'm about to geek out real quick. Maybe it was the fight with Toxic Chainsaw that effed him up.
I mean, All Might has a lot of mess ups, bro. Like, he has a giant fist ingrained in his fucking sides.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Maybe it was that did not allow him. It leads into what you're saying is a perfect segue, because the wielder that was speaking to Deku, which is phenomenal, like you said, he was like, it's lucky that you found me first, you know, like it wasn't the other powers. So there's definitely some OP power in him. And I don't know, bro, like, I did like the fact where they said, like you said, Deku is going to be the completer of All For One. How'd you feel about that? Like, you're the knife, you're the one that's going to wield all this imperfection, like you just said.
Man, it's exciting to see, but then it's kind of scary to see what's going to happen for the future. Like, you know, we look at My Hero Academia, a lot of people have speculated that, you know, the final seasons are coming. Whether it's going to be the next season after this or in the manga as well, too. Like, there is an end to this somewhere down the line. So I'm like, I'm scared that, you know, we got to season 5 now. Now we're getting some juicy details. But I feel like it could be just coming to an end as well, too, which I'm a little sad about, because I want to see everything explored just a little bit more. That's just me personally. But seeing Deku, man, and just seeing him go out of control, which I was happy about. To see his vulnerable, that was interesting as well too. Seeing Uraga come to his aid as well too was interesting as well too. Like, a lot to unpack with Deku, losing control and All Might wanted to stop the tournament. How did you feel about Deku losing control?
I mean, I enjoyed it because it shows some vulnerability and it shows you, like, it throws a, you know, a wrench in the machine, and you're like, because he even said it. He goes, I thought I had it under control. You know, he was one. He had me fooled. I was like, okay, he's gradually progressing, but no, man, this just added a whole new power set to this power. And, you know, like the wielder was explaining to him, bro, this is nothing. Now this power is growing. So it definitely was a great curveball, in my opinion, to see Deku lose that kind of vulnerability. It makes it feel like all over, you know, you have this quirk, but you're still kind of quirkless. You know what I'm saying? Because you still haven't got full control of it. So I liked it. I enjoyed seeing him kind of like that vulnerable. How did you feel?
You know, as soon as I saw that, there's only one person I thought about. And it could be a motivator or it could just demoralize someone. And I automatically thought about Bakugo because he was there in the background.
Yeah.
Just quietly looking and observing the layout of this match. And I could just imagine now seeing Deku pull out a new move or just a new quirk in a way. And knowing that he has that quirk, knowing that he has One For All, does that piss him off even more that Deku can still go over his level, basically, within a whim, just like that? All the training that Bakugo did to be so crazy in that last episode, that I wouldn't say it pales in comparison, but you look at him, look at Deku, all these fucking whips coming out, essentially could kill anybody if you lost control. What does that make Bakugo feel? Or how?
Yeah, that's a good question, man. That is definitely a good question, because he was quiet. We will get the answers to that in the next coming episodes, because we did not see, while this was all going on, like you said, he was quiet. We really didn't see much of Bakugo on screen. So somewhere this was working in his mind. We'll get some resolution to this in the next few episodes, man. It got to make him feel kind of crappy, because like you said, he was here all for, oh, watch Deku, I'm gonna, you know, show you my evolution. Yeah, I'm gonna surpass you, show you my evolution. But here comes basically freaking Deku with freaking Dark Shadow out of control, and it's like,
right? Okay. He's like, what do I do now? Right? Yeah. And now I'm thinking, like, in the later episodes, and Deku's tapping into other quirks, Bakugo's probably like, well, it doesn't matter what I do now. So yeah, it's gonna be very interesting.
That's the thing, like, yeah, it's like, okay, Bakugo's explosion, we know his quirk is OP, but this dude has 8 other powers that he could tap into, you know? So I also want to know, like you said, there's definitely some end game. There's an end game to this. And I know there's always a shadowy veil that you do not see. And my thing is that All Might? You get what I'm saying? It has to be, right?
It could be. I don't know, man. And this season is going to have high implications. After this fight, which is great, it was great to have Class A and B, you know, see how they fare up against each other. That's cool. But I think what we want now as fans is resolution or some kind of clarity into the My Hero universe. What's the next step? What's the next phase, if you will? And we need some clarity of All Might. We need some clarity with All For One. We need some clarity even with the quirk. You know, we need some clarity altogether. Hell, Eraserhead over here having his own intentions, not stopping the match.
I think, yeah, sorry for cutting you off. You definitely did ask me about that, but I strayed from that. That, yeah, bro, there's definitely some intentions behind that. Shinzo has to be Eraserhead's son. He has to. He has to be his son, because, bro, the similarities, pale faces, lookalikes, everything, the bands. Why would you give him those bands, you know? Like, those are yours. And not wanting to stop it. Kind of like trying to get one over All Might and Midoriya. Mm-hmm. So there has to be something where we don't know. If you're listening to this, it's probably already revealed in the manga. I know in the manga, there's My Hero Academia Vigilante, where heroes team up with students to do missions. And I seen somebody team up with Aizawa that kind of remind me of Shinzo, I'm not gonna lie. But it has to be a son, bro, because it was kind of like a little father moment, like, no, damn it, you're gonna make me proud, you're gonna get through this. Like, how'd you feel about the battle not being stopped?
Yeah, like, I felt like there was some ulterior motives. I don't know if he's a son, but definitely a strong pupil in a way where there's a caring aspect there. Even though we don't see the emotion, there's something there. There's an emotional attachment to both these characters, 100,000%. Man, like, I'm thinking All Might. I'm thinking so many implications. You know, I'm thinking we see One For All. Do we get a death in this season, or do you think that's too early? Do you think it's too early because what happened in the last season?
Do we get a death? I don't think this season, but we're gonna get a death. If not in 5-6, okay. I mean, I just don't know who it is, and I don't want to say the cliche All Might, because remember, Night Eyes, right? Night Eyes,
yeah,
that's his name. He said it. You're gonna die a horrific death. You know, so there's a bunch of stuff that can happen. I don't want to say it's All Might, because we know one of the followers on PCF told us that there's a massive breakout in the gate of what, Tartarus or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. So, and then we know there's this big epic battle with the League of Villains and Heroes. Do you feel a death is needed to add a caveat to this, or this is great, this episode, how it's rolling?
I mean, for this season so far, but I'm just wondering. Like, I do like when there's stakes involved and when there's high drama. Seeing Night Eye, like, die in that last season, you know, it did impact the whole season. It was like, okay, things could get real if you let your guard down watching My Hero Academia. And I think, you know, it doesn't have to be someone main, maybe not, but, you know, seeing like someone, let's say Gran Torino die, that could be just, you know, impact enough to turn the tide.
That's main for me. I love me some Gran Torino. But yeah, I can see a death. I don't know, man. Like, is it needed right now? Maybe not, but maybe a little sidebar death. I agree with you, but it's going so great.
We jumped around to speculation territory, but let's get more grounded. Deku with the Dark Whip. You know, we're going to see that in the next episode. He kind of looks like he's controlling it a tad bit. But how do you feel about that first new power right there? Like a new power where Deku essentially is not really hurting himself through fighting. It's more of like a conjuring, if you will, of a new power. Like, how do you feel about that? No more using, you know, a shoot style. No more using, you know, his fist to break a finger or whatnot.
I mean, it's cool because at the end of the day, that's what we see a lot of these other students do. Use their power, use their quirk, you know? So it's kind of cool that we're seeing Deku tap into this as I'm not hurting myself anymore. So I think it's great that he's finally starting to wield it. Like, because that's what it is. Essentially, at the end, you have to use your power, you know? So he's been trying to get his power under control this whole time, and unfortunately, he's been hurting himself. So I think it's phenomenal.
Is this the end of shoot style and certain things that he's been doing, or do you feel like they're going to nerf these quirks a tad bit? Do you feel like he can't tap into things at a certain time? Like, he has to use them sparingly.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's one of those things where he's gonna survey, because he is the mastermind, and you saw him with Monoma talking to himself, dialoguing, where I think he's gonna tap into these powers at certain moments when he needs them. So I don't think we're going to see shoe style nerfs, because that's his. Like, what do you think about that? I mean, I don't think so. That would be kind of just like circumcising Deku, because shoe style is fucking epic.
Shoe style is epic, and we have not seen Deku really hurt himself doing shoe style, so that's good. I think the days of using his fucking pinky just to shoot things out, I think that might be over, knowing that he can fucking conjure up whips now.
Nah, I don't think that's stopping, bro. That's like his main goal. Like, we saw him right now against Monomo. He was always like, I'm like, bro, you really love those gauntlets, bro. I wanted to ask you about a character that really gets a lot of heat, but he's really showed a lot of development since the movies, and he's kind of growing into his own. We're starting to see him become a hero and not just do it for the ladies. How do you feel about Mineta? Like, I'm starting to see a confident Mineta. I'm starting to see a Mineta that's no longer scared. A Mineta that's like, okay, I'm here. I want to be a hero. I can do this. How do you feel?
I would have liked a little bit more with Mineta, just seeing what his mindset was going into this battle. I mean, he was doubting himself beforehand in the last episode, doubting, you know, if this team makes sense or whatnot. But at the same time, though, if you just take dialogue out, you're looking at Mineta, and he's, like you said, going into battle, going in to save, going in working with each other, not running away, not trying to hide in the background or do traps or whatnot. He's over there. What's the quirk again?
Grape Rush, is it?
He's throwing Grape Rush everywhere. He's like, everyone gets a ball. And I'm like, I like it. Maybe that's just more so the camaraderie that he knows that he has everyone together. Mm-hmm. But I'm still interested to see Mineta by himself, and if he has that confidence in a one-on-one battle, or if he's separated from people, if he still has that confidence, because I think Mineta does need some love. I think I'm tired of the pervy character, which is cool here and there, but he needs a little seriousness in his life.
Yeah, I agree. I was a little bit tired with the pervy character. Season 3, was it? Yeah, I think season 3 it was a straight. Was it season 3? It was
season a straight. Season 3 is straight perv.
Yeah, straight perv. I'm like, bro, I'm not feeling this. And I'm glad to see the evolution Mineta has gotten since the movies and the confidence. But you're absolutely correct. Maybe it can be him just, you know, being a part of this hive mind that he feels so confident. So, but I'm definitely all for the Mineta evolution.
You excited for the next episode, man?
Yeah, bro, I'm excited. I'm excited. I really want to see, because we saw the previews. Aizawa was having a conversation with Shinzo by the trees. It felt very intimate. It felt very personal. It felt very family-like. It felt very kind of disappointed. I'm not disappointed. I expected more. How did you feel about that preview?
Well, it does look like Shinzo has a surprised look on his face. Mm-hmm. So it could go either way. It could be, hey, I'm surprised that you won the match, or I'm surprised that, you know, you use your quirk in not the best way. Like I said, that challenge to Deku, that could have went so many different ways. Like the way that Shinzo could have controlled the outcome of this match really could have just ended everything today. Like, depower, go to sleep, you know, sleep for 10 days, go into a coma, something, jerk off into your heart's desire, something. Like, he could have said literally anything, to a point where he said, what do I say? He's like, Ricky Bobby, I don't know what to do with my hands. Like,
so does that...
That could be a disappointment for our boy Racerhead.
So with all that being said, you're absolutely correct. I believe that could be a disappointment. All that being said, will Shinzo just always be a B character? He'll never be that A character.
Nah, if Mineta could be an A character, Shinzo could be an A character. I don't want to hear that.
Damn, bro, I thought you would have been like, yo, if Hagakure could be an A character, which you can't even see her, you know, you can make Shinzo an A character. Fuck, yo, Mineta, no love.
To see more, bro. But yo, I think he can be. I feel like There was a slow burn with Shinzo, and I feel that they're still playing that duality a tad bit, and it's all because of the character design, you know, the deep dark eyes, the hair, whatnot, the slow voice, the tone voice, very much is, like you said, resembles Eraserhead. You know, what's going to happen with those two?
Definitely quirks are similar. Quirks are similar. Eraser. Brainwashing, it negates the quirk. Sorry for cutting you off. There has to be something, bro. Whoever is read ahead on the manga, don't hit up the page. Don't do it. Usually I'm all for hit up the page, but no, don't do it, because I wanna be like Leonardo DiCaprio. I knew it.
Like, watch it be like his stepbrother or some shit.
bro, if it's a stepbrother, if it's a nephew taken under the
watch
wings.
Watch it be a nephew.
Nephew, what's up, Unc?
You piece of shit. Nephew.
I would be... Nephew, what you doing to my woman? Yo, bro. So, with the Black Whip, do you think we'll see Black Whip in the next episode?
Oh, we definitely saw a preview of him grabbing onto Black Whip. Now, I don't know if he's going to use it. We don't know how Deku adapts to all this. This is all new to him. All new powers, new structure, new teacher in a way, because this essentially is this new or previous wielder is essentially a new teacher for him. So it's like, oh, what are you doing? Like, so many mentors for Deku, and what's the right move, what's the right way to learn certain things? Like, how does he look at All Might after this? Like, if I could tap into this, like, so many questions are going to be directed to All Might, and it's going to be interesting to see what he actually comes up with.
Bro, yeah, I actually see All Might just playing second fiddle to these 8 teachers, and I think it's just going to be more of a
more of a, like, I don't want to say a father figure, but you get what I'm saying. Like, it's just going to be more of a little mentor, like, hey, what's up? You know, kind of like a little Gran Torino did in this episode, but like.
Yeah, because like, what does Walmart have to offer as a teacher? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like he can teach people to control their quirks because he was quirkless to begin with. It's not like he can overcome that, teach about overcoming adversities because half of his career, he was unstoppable until his last battles right there. And that whole rallying speech of plus ultra, you know, give it your all, save everyone. Every goddamn teacher tells them the same exact thing. So it's like, what do you have to offer?
Bro, All Might is...
This a fraud. All Might's a fraud.
You leave him alone. Sad to say, kind of like, you know, I'm going to throw some wrestling like Orange Cassidy. It kind of pains me to say this because, you know, All Might is my favorite character, but he has an expiration date, bro, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. He has an expiration date, and he may be one of the characters that we get a death, you know, that we'll probably see his death down the line. But he definitely has an expiration date. Does it matter? No, because he will always be number one hero, damn it. And that's just me geeking out right now. So
I'm going to tell you this much right now. I'm going to go pro wrestling, too. I want to see the self-destruction of All Might. That's what I want to see this season.
Bro, I want to see All Might going heel doing the Warrior. Sidebar. Could you imagine All Might, bro, powering up? The Mercury's bubbling. Detroit Smash.
I'm going to tell you that the next time All Might powers up might be his last. He might die. Yeah. That will be it.
Yeah, bro, I think so. I think his little heart can't take it no more. I think we're going to get a power up, and then we're just going to get white eyes, bro. That's it. Bro, power up, boom, bro. Fall, corpse, fall over. But unfortunately, he does have an expiration date. But a lot of stuff coming forward to this episode. Did you feel the little bit that we got from Uraraka was enough of a big growth for her? Or how did you feel about that? I never got your opinions on that little snippet.
Nah, not really. Unfortunately, I feel that her job in this episode was to be like that centerpiece for Deku. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm here for you no matter what. Even if I have to put my body on the line, I'm going to be here for you. Which I like that. That's growth. Mm-hmm. Because it's showing how comfortable she now is with Deku. Mm-hmm. So are we going to ship them? Is this show made for shipping anyone? Is this show made for like that boyfriend girlfriend aspect? I don't know. We haven't seen it at all in any season whatsoever, so I don't know if they're just gonna play it off in the next episode like, oh, that didn't happen. But yeah. I could definitely see a joke with like Ayama or like fucking Minetta just making a joke about that.
Yes,
like,
Minora,
look at me, Minora Suzuki coming in, pile driving everyone.
That's what I'm talking about. The wrestle talk, bro. The
king of wrestling, pile driving people.
That's his power, one for all, bro.
Pile driver.
But yeah, it's true. Honestly, we have not seen that. This is very weird. Or do you think since it's like the writer, maybe we will get it down the line or in the manga, but do you think maybe the writer's trying to stay away from this? I know we do know they're teens, but we don't want to involve a lot of romantical aspect into this.
Yeah, they do that a lot with certain, most animes as well, too, that are directed to children. Mm-hmm. You know, they kind of, they hint to it, but they don't automatically go into it. This has been happening for years. Like, even in Dragon Ball, you look at Dragon Ball, it's implied that people date, it's implied that people fuck, but at the end of the day, you don't see anybody holding hands. Hands are made for holding. That doesn't really happen.
No, yeah, exactly. Like, in Dragon Ball, we don't even see a intimate moment between Chi-Chi and Goku, Vegeta and Bulma. Yeah, we saw it in Dragon Ball where he's looking up the kilt, but in Dragon Ball Z,
slapping the panty like whap, whap.
But no, yeah, and I think that's what it is, since it's like directed for like, you know, and there's all teens and stuff like that, high school students. Don't imply it, get very heavy, you know, tones and stuff like that, but not fully go ham and ballistic, because you know we got a lot of pervs out there like Mineta, so. You know, they defame in Pornescu, bro.
Yeah, and like the only like I guess over sexual character you probably have, or two over sexualized characters, is really Toga and Mineta right there. So
you got a couple.
Oh, go ahead, bring out some other ones.
You got Toga.
You got Midnight as well too.
Midnight, bro. Midnight was said, bro. Midnight basically said, I'm sorry to get explicit with it. Midnight basically said she got wet with all the plus ultras. You know, you got Momo, which she always flailing her breast all over. So, yeah, bro. Like, there's a lot.
I need to see some Tetsu Tetsu and Kirishima fucking come at each other, hardening up each other, smacking each other.
Word, bro. Kind of like, bro, I need, you see now, I don't want to go on the tangent. Fucking pull it. That's my boy when he's slapping his junk.
Ooh. I'm harder. No, I'm harder. These are the things I'm shipping. If you guys have some fan art and some fan scripts, please send them our way at the podcast. We will love to hear it.
Oh, man, that was jokes. But yeah, no, man, definitely this episode was good. Everything progressively after, to me, it started off phenomenal this season, but everything after the Ida growth, it's just been downhill, but downhill in a good way. You know, not a bad way, just downhill. And this, now we're in full effect. Like you said, this is episode 10. So from here, bro, we're getting big drops. We saw All for One. League of Villains was mentioned. They're still in the shadow lingering, like they said, recruiting villains. We saw the new power, the new wielder, more realism to it, you know, where Deku was like, this is not a dream no more. This is real. This is kind of like another realm. I'm tapping into this. So it's just a snowball effect now, man. And it's going to be a wild freaking ride.
Yeah, I needed this. I needed a change in direction a tad bit. Not that I wasn't enjoying the fights with Class A and B. I just feel like, okay, we've been there. We've done that. Give me something new. Let's progress in the story. I'll end it like this. It's going to be very, very interesting to see what Deku does with these new powers, but the one thing that concerns me is that getting into these fights, especially if we get away from here and Deku getting back into the streets, because I feel like we need to get back to that again. What if in midst of a battle, a real fucking battle, he gets hit up by one of these wielders again? You see already that he goes into a comatose like state and just stays there. Can that be detrimental to his group, to his mentor, to anyone that's around him while trying to tap into that power? That's going to be interesting to see in the next couple episodes.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely going to be very detrimental, because now you got me thinking. Bro, you're absolutely correct. I want to get back to the streets. I want to see. This is finally Endeavor season. Where the fuck is Endeavor? I need to see some Endeavor, bro.
Texting and acting like a bitch. Like that.
You too. I need to see some fucking Endeavor, first of all. I apologize. But, bro, this is Endeavor season, and he's still playing second fiddle to All Might. He will always play second fiddle. I want to get back to the streets. Like you said, that's what I want to see. It's definitely going to be a detriment. It also kind of makes me feel like, you know how we got the new movie coming out, the Three Musketeers, as they always say, Shoto, Bakugo, Deku. Do these three become very symbiotic? And now I'm just thinking, geeking out, at moments when they're fighting all together, does Deku, like you said, go into this paralysis state and they complement each other, help each other out? You get what I'm saying? Like, I'm reaching, but I just want to see some crazy shit like that, bro. Like,
you know, the more I hear about this new movie, the more I get a little disappointed, and I'll tell you why. I just don't want Deku and Bakugo in there. I really don't. Like, the more I look at it, maybe if you want to put Deku, I get it in some way, but I would have rather had Tokiyami, Todoroki, and maybe Deku, because they represent, you know, either the past or the number one heroes in a way.
Yeah.
So that would make sense.
Yeah, you make an excellent point. I mean, I'm going to go back to Endeavor. I would have preferred an Endeavor movie, some Endeavor growth, some Hawks. Bro.
Endeavor, the movie, in the flames.
I would like to see some Endeavor shit. I mean, hell, we gave All Might basically a movie in Deku. Like, let's give Endeavor, Hawks, and like you said, Tokiyami. Maybe this could have been Lost Files of when Tokiyami was becoming the beast with that new power, bro. Something. But I agree with you to a certain extent. We don't want to play out a lot of these characters.
Yeah, because now I'm feeling that, like, these are being overused in each of the movies, like Deku, Bakugo, in some ways Todoroki as well, too. I mean, I think Todoroki is a slow burn for a lot of people. I think people expected him to be, like, just epic in every way since season one. Mm-hmm. And they have been slowly building him up with little spots, but at the end of the day, he's not the main player. So I could appreciate that. I think that's why he's my favorite character. Because there's still a lot for him to grow and do in the upcoming seasons. I would like, we're in season 5, I would like some actual growth now, but I think we're getting it little by little in this season.
Word. I was actually laughing, bro, because, yeah, a lot of people love Shoto, and I know that's your dude. You remember when this dude started with the freaking half-frozen body? Like, in season 1, I was, like, revisiting season 1, and I'm like... oh shit, I forgot he was like half a shell, bro, of ice. Like,
you didn't even want to use the fire side.
Word, I want to use it. No, you can't make me. Like, but yeah, man, a lot of characters definitely are going to get development. Shoto's one with a slow burn, so I think he has a big arc coming up for him. I don't know, man, super excited for season 5 to see what brings. Like I said, I know sometimes I'm very tunnel visioned, but I can't wait for that Shigaraki to come out, because I love Shigaraki, bro. I love Shigaraki, but sometimes I sit here and say, I want to see some more evolution. I mean, in the manga, they probably got Shigaraki down to a T, but I want to start seeing it in the anime. You get what I'm saying? Like, so same that's here. What I'm looking forward to.
Same here. New villains, new power sets. That's what we come to see My Hero Academia. So that was it right there. You know, that was our review of that episode. Epic episode. We're going to be getting down to the next one next week, next Saturday as well, too, as promised. Guys, this is Pop Culture Fanatics. PCF Podcast on Twitter, PCF Podcast on Instagram, and Pop Culture Fanatics on the Facebook. It's on all podcast platforms out there, from Apple Podcasts all the way down to Spotify and iHeartRadio. So please add us, link us, let us know how we're doing on this one. Let us know your thoughts. Let us know all that that fan fiction you're making. We want to see that right there. We want to see a Shoto and Deku get it on like we did a couple of years ago in that little trailer we saw, fan-made trailer, which was fantastic.
Right? Yeah, definitely hit us up and let us know how you guys are enjoying season 5 as well. Are you enjoying it as much as we're doing here? Like, hopefully you guys are geeking out listening to this with us, but, you know, let us know how you guys feel about season 5.
We also have some other podcasts out there if you guys are interested in us. EWA Podcast, Elite Wrestling Audio. It's EWA Podcast on Twitter, EWA Podcast on Instagram, and Elite Wrestling Audio, all on podcast platforms out there. The Kimura Chronicles, TKC Podcast _ on Twitter, TKC Podcast on Instagram, and The Kimura Chronicles is on all podcast platforms out there as well, too. Also on Facebook by the same name. Lag Switching, do you want to give any updates for that, brother?
Oh, Lag Switching. Yeah, we haven't really recorded much on that, but, you know, like, I do starting to get a little bit more active with Switch. So if you guys, you know, want to see me in my little hot tub stream, y'all can hit up my Twitch.
Yes. That's all I imagine is you when you're beef and broccoli all out just in the hot tub with a head silly. Hello. Hey, welcome to Tales of the Crypt over here.
Mm-hmm. Bro, believe it or not, dude, these shorties are desperate nowadays with these hot tub streams, man. Like, bro, I'm not going to lie to you. I should have taken a picture. But before I get into the handle, dude, my mans, shorty was eating minestrone soup in a hot tub, bro. I'm like, yo, ma, you dead eating minestrone soup in a hot tub right now in a bikini? I'm like, yo, Jesus, take the wheel. Do something with your life, woman. Like, dad sitting there eating minestrone soup, bro. Like,
It's okay. This right here, this is the part of the podcast where things go wild, because I was getting a haircut yesterday, mm-hmm. and there was a shorty barber. This is why I don't go to shorty barbers. I swear to everything. I know there's some good shorty barbers out there, but, yeah. Like, I be hearing this shit, and I'm over here just listening to her while I'm, like, getting my haircut on the side. She's like, oh, I'm not going to take that person because that guy stank probably. Oh, I'm not going to take that person. Look at his toes. And then she's like, oh, yeah, I got an OnlyFans page. I just opened it up. I just got paid about $3,000. She's like, for what? To show my pinky toe? I'm like, bro, this is where we're at now.
Wow. I'd have been like, yo, let me see your pinky toe. See if it's worth $3,000. Show me right now. Let me see the quality.
I want to know what a $3,000 pinky looks like.
Exactly. Let me see the quality of that pinky toe, man. But yo, bro, I'm telling you, man, it's wild. Jump on Twitch. You got these shorties out here doing hot tub streams. So if you want to see your boy in some Capicola in a hot tub.
I want to see this. This sounds epic.
Playing Avengers in Capicola. definitely. It got crazy, but definitely hit me up on my Twitch. Val jumps on that as well. We've been playing some My Hero, of course. We got to get back up on that, do a little streams. But is Ambient Aizawa, yes, My Hero Overload everywhere. Ambient Aizawa, I have all the latest episode. I was doing a late night Avengers run last night, so if you guys want to check out that run, definitely hit us up there. If you want to hit me up personally, Sun Eater UA, that's my Instagram and my Twitter. Yep.
There you go. Ooh, I love it, brother. If you guys want to hit me up personally, Lucha Bows, let's go on Instagram and Twitter. And yeah, man, that was it. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this. If you stuck around for that last good 2 minutes of us going out of control, please. We love you 10 bro. Times.
Definitely. We appreciate you guys for sticking around. That's us in a nutshell, man. We two crazy Puerto Ricans from the Bronx. We have fun talking about what we love. So definitely, man.
All right, guys. For all those shorty barbers I just offended, I apologize. Ooh. But I hear your shit. I hear it.
You're destiny.
Show yourself, Copperfields.
Shows yourself, Pinky Toes.
Take care. Later, brother.